We have sometimes biological mothers and fathers, and sometimes spiritual mothers that are influential in our life. Today being Mother's Day, I want to focus on moms a little bit, whether that be biological or spiritual. I shared that earlier this week we got to help Gary and Glenda. I remember Glenda from when I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, teaching junior church and teaching the songs with emotions about the wise man building his house upon the rock and on the sand. And so that all fits right in with what I'm going to talk about today. Also, I remember from my years and growing up in Blessed Hope, there used to be a song that we sang that was had a line in it about, "They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, they will know we are Christians." And it was kind of a chant sort of song. But it's talking about, that song is talking about spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And so last night we celebrated baptism, and I feel like that's kind of a starting point. It's not a conclusion, it's not a anything other than it's a starting point for our Christian faith. And so a seed has been planted, and we'll see what kind of tree develops out of these three young lives eventually and the fruit that they bear. So happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers that are in the room and those that may be listening later on that couldn't be with us here today. I think if there was one chapter of the Bible that would be appropriate for Mother's Day, it'd be Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. I'm just going to go pretty quickly through Matthew chapter 7 because that's not really the main focus where I want to be today, although I think this chapter, if you were to take one whole chapter and say what would be the most appropriate chapter for Mother's Day, I think Matthew chapter 7 might be it. Because it starts off with be careful what standards you use to judge others. Our moms teach us those kinds of things. Talks about asking and seeking and knocking. Any mom here has probably been interrupted while having some personal time in that certain room of the house with knocking on the door or peeking under the crack in the door. Kids are relentless in asking and seeking and knocking. And moms are well aware of that. And I think Jesus taught us that's how we are to persist with asking for things from God as children ask their mothers. Verse 13 of chapter 7 there is talking about the narrow and the wide gates. And anybody that's got children, but specifically moms, know about how tough it is to go through doorways with your children, you know? They cram in there and it just takes practice to go through doors with children. Narrow gates and wide gates and that. And then finally, at the end of that chapter, it's talking about the wise men and the foolish men building on the firm foundation of rock or on the sand and what happens when the rains come. But the one little section that I skipped over that I want to read together now, I'm going to read out loud and I invite you to follow along, is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Starting in verse 15. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And that just reminds me of kids and their mom. Mom, 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 mom. So it doesn't matter if you say mom, 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 or you say Lord, 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 Lord. Not everyone who says that is going to be recognized by Jesus as somebody that he has known. So not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So in the beginning of that section that we just read, it's talking about the fruit on the trees. Yesterday, as we were driving around town, gathering some things before we came here, we drove past a couple of different greenhouses, the Village Green and I don't know what else.
Gensler Gardens.
And Didier Greenhouse. I said it's probably like, yesterday was probably like Black Friday for the greenhouses because, I mean, they were packed. They had food trucks in at least two of them because the lines were out the doors. Everybody's buying stuff for their moms. So we're in our house. We usually keep things pretty even as far as the responsibilities. I've got my notes all mixed together here, but there we are. Usually we keep things pretty even in our house. Like, for example, she usually makes the meals, and I eat them, and then she does the dishes, and she does the laundry, and she gets the kids ready for the day and does the homeschooling. And she works nearly full-time as a nurse, and I work 4 days a week. And I keep the yard well manicured. There we go. It's hard to tell the precision cut to the lawn there. But these dandelions are almost all consistently about a foot tall. So I keep the yard well manicured. Well, actually Carter does most of that. But you know, the one thing that is pretty consistent, although we don't keep things very balanced most of the time, Hannah does a lot more of the work around our house, truthfully. But the one thing that we do keep pretty consistent is she can count on every Mother's Day, I'm gonna buy and plant some type of flowers or plants. And so last year, for example, I bought six brand new lilac bushes to plant along our property line to make a nice hedge, a barrier. Carter's cracking me up here. To block off that fence there from the neighbors. I don't have it on. That's why. This fence right here. I just thought, well, they're always kind of, I mean, our yard is so nice, and theirs, they're burning wood over there all the time, and they're doing crazy things, so let's plant some lilacs here. So I bought those, and I planted them, and really, it's just like that 1986 song called The Glory of Love by Peter Cetera. I don't know if you've heard it, but we had a wedding photographer who made a slideshow presentation of a lot of our different pictures growing up. And then he put them in a montage with some songs, and he put our wedding photos in there, and he put this song in there from 1986. And so one of the lines in the song is, just like a knight in shining armor from a long time ago, just in time I will save the day, take you to my castle far away. I am a man who will fight for your honor. I'll be that hero that you're dreaming of. We're going to live forever knowing that together we did it all for the glory of love. Well, here's Hannah's castle. It's not really maybe what she had in mind when the photographer made that slideshow. But, I mean, she can count on pretty consistently that I'm going to plant the flowers on Mother's Day. Here's the kids last year helping me plant the lilac bushes. We strung a line here to keep them nice and straight, and we planted them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Weston helped out. So here's the lilac bushes today. This morning I took this picture. They're doing really good. They're right here. Well, here's from another angle. Here's from looking back the other way. That's not one of the lilac bushes. That's a tree that we planted in memory of Hannah's grandma that died around Christmas time. But then the lilac bushes are going back this way here.
You know, one of my first jobs was in a greenhouse, and so that's why I know so much about planting and growing things. And so Dan told me that this month we're focusing on growing things. And so kind of like how well I knew the material about the Final Four and the, you know, I thought this is right up my alley. I'm really good at growing things. So here's a close-up of the tree. The tree that we planted. It was a pine tree. We decorated it for Christmas. It was a living little tree in a pot. And then since Hannah's grandma died around that same time, we said, why don't we plant that in the backyard? And then we'll always remember that, oh yeah, that was planted when she... Well, that's how it's doing there. We haven't torn it out because Job 14, verse 7 through 9 says, and I quote, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet the scent of water, at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. So, there's hope for that. And that reminds me of another similar story in Daniel chapter 4. And that's really where I want to focus today. Daniel chapter 4. Believe me, if you stick with me, we'll tie this together to Mother's Day somehow. But Daniel chapter 4. Turn with me there if you would. And we read here about King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is writing these things, and he's talking about the glory of God and how wonderful God is, but this is the same Nebuchadnezzar that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. So, and in fact, that was in chapter 3. So we're now in chapter 4, so it's kind of interesting. So what is going on here? This is what's going on with this guy. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, maybe like Hannah's little castle there, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid, a nightmare, you might say. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. We were joking last night about some of Hannah's dreams or some of the nightmares that I've had. And it'd be nice if somebody could interpret what these things mean. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the people who had dreams that actually did mean something. And here's what his was. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, verse 8, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. Skipping ahead a little bit, verse 10, these are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Boy, what a wonderful tree that is. It's like the dream come true tree right there. It's what we imagine when we plant a tree. I know that the kids were planning on planting one of those little helicopter seeds. They planted it, what was it, last week or a couple weeks ago? Because they were hoping to grow a tree for Mother's Day. So in their minds, this is going to be a great tree. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar was seeing in his dream. A great tree that birds live in and every kind of animal is fed from. Verse 13. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. Verse 17. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. Verse 18, this is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now Belteshazzar, that was a different name for Daniel. Now Daniel, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. So we've got this great and awesome tree, and then some type of messenger from heaven says, cut it down, scatter it, because I want you to know that the kingdoms of this earth can be given to anybody at any time by God. So God's about to put Nebuchadnezzar in his place. Verse 19, then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, don't let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar, or Daniel, I'm just going to say Daniel for the rest of it. Daniel answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies, its meaning to your adversaries. Verse 20, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field and having nesting places in it, its branches for the birds of the air. Verse 22, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it. Leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze, in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of the heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. And then, for the sake of time, I'd invite you to read the rest of that chapter on your own. But what happens is the dream is fulfilled, just exactly as Daniel said. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. He had accumulated all this wealth, and people came to him for their solutions to their problems. But he was taken down a notch, literally and figuratively, by God. He wandered around in the wilderness. He looked and acted like an animal. He lost his mind. But what happened in the end is that Nebuchadnezzar was restored. Verse 36, at the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. So how does this relate to Mother's Day? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And I don't know about you, but sometimes Hannah and I feel like that fruit ain't growing in our house. It's not growing on our tree that we planted and we watered, and we think we're doing everything that we can to nurture this tree, and the fruit ain't growing at our house. It's easy to get frustrated. I planted this, but what's growing here? Nothing. We planted this tree in memory of Grandma, and look what's happening here. Like, we've watered it, it's not growing. Talon Paul is a pastor now in Indiana. He grew up in the East Oregon Church and was a youth when I was in charge of the youth camp. And so we got to know each other through that. But now I follow him on Facebook, and he has a lot of good insights. And this week he shared a quote from someone named Annie Stewart Lambert on Facebook. And it said, not seeing results? Feel like giving up? Consider this. The last thing to grow on a fruit tree is the fruit. The last thing to grow on a fruit tree is the fruit. You got to plant, feed, water, harvest. This is the cycle. Harvesting the fruit doesn't come till the last thing. This is not the first time you've seen Sesame Street references in my sermons, but I think there's some insight there. This is a favorite book of mine. It's called Don't Forget the Oatmeal. And I won't read it all to you, but I'll show you the highlights. It's a spoiler. Here's a spoiler alert. So if you've not read Don't Forget the Oatmeal, I'm about to spoil it for you. But one day, Ernie and Bert, they're going to go to the grocery store, and they're making a list of everything they need. And Bert says, hey, Ernie, we need some more oatmeal. And so they go to the store. Bert's got this string tied around his finger the whole time to remember, because he doesn't have his mom with him to remind him what they need. He's only got crazy Ernie. And so they tie this string around his finger, and they're going through the whole store, and Ernie's trying to load the shopping cart with paper cups and straws and everything else, and Cookie Monster's trying to load cookies. Bert's just focused on, we just need to get the oatmeal. And they get home after spending hundreds of dollars on groceries that nobody wants to eat.
Oh no, we forgot the oatmeal.
My kids and I joke about every time we go to the store, we forget everything we came for because we don't have Hannah with us to remind us what we need. It doesn't matter what we go for. If we go for ice cream, we're gonna forget the ice cream, but we're gonna come back with hundreds of dollars worth of groceries. But so Dan spoke about the parable of the sower last week from Matthew 13 and Mark 4. He and I discussed last night after the baptisms, and just as the baptistry was draining out and Weston was curious about that, we discussed the interesting story of how Jesus cursed a fig tree in Mark 11, and then it withered and died. Isaiah 11 talks about a shoot will spring forth from the root of Jesse. So what am I saying here? Well, you remember the loser's bracket sermon a couple weeks ago? Don't count yourself out when you feel down and out. Moms, don't count yourself out when it looks like your tree's not producing fruit. We need you to hold our households together to help us remember the oatmeal and to encourage us and water us and feed us when we forget to do it ourselves. The fruit grows on the tree last. The shoot growing out of the root of Jesse, that was Jesus. So don't count yourself out when you feel like you're in the loser's bracket. There's Jesus' family tree is full of branches that looked like they weren't going to produce anything. Proverbs 22:6 in closing says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Remember, some of us are meant to sow seeds. Some of us are meant to feed and water those seeds. Some of us are meant to till the soil. Some are meant to reap the harvest. Some of us are the plants. Some of us are the plants that somebody is praying will just produce some fruit. As we go forth from here, let us consider which one of those things we are. Are we the sower? Are we the reaper? Are we the plant? And let's not lose hope when our plants look like they're not producing fruit. We haven't forgot everything we came for. We haven't forgotten why we come here every Sunday.